Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with William R. Ferris, chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Could you tell us about the development of the Rediscovering America program?
Yes. Our real initiative at the endowment is to connect the humanities to every American. And to do that, we are reaching out to American families and communities with a number of initiatives that are making a significant difference.
We know that you're planning 10 regional centers as part of this program. What will these centers do?
Well, these centers will be housed within major universities in 10 five-state areas that roughly correspond to the areas we think of as New England, the Deep South, the Southwest, the Midwest. They will offer the BA and MA interdisciplinary degrees on the history and culture of their region. They will support research projects like encyclopedias on each region, and they'll do public programs, television, radio, exhibitions, and they'll link over the five-state area the infrastructure of education and culture, religious groups, civic groups, national parks, universities, colleges, K through 12, arts and humanities councils. Groups that normally don't talk to each other will be gathered together at a common table so that when an initiative like an exhibition on the California Gold Rush is being developed, all of these groups will have a chance to take part in it and to help make it a stronger initiative.
What are the management challenges of running these centers?
Well, the centers will all be run by the universities in which they're housed. They're actually built on already existing work, in some cases programs that have been focused on the region for 20 and 30 years. And what we are issuing is a challenge grant over 5 years that will offer each university $1 million a year, and they in turn will match it with a 3-to-1 match. And we are turning to Congress for only 4 of the 6. The other 6 we're raising support from private sources for. We recently received a $2.5 million gift from the Knight Foundation, which is the largest single gift in the 35-year history of our agency. So I think Congress and the private sector are very excited about the ways that this will deepen our knowledge of what American culture is all about.
We know that you've spearheaded an effort to put statewide cultural encyclopedias online. Could you tell us what this is and what the biggest hurdle to doing this is?
Prior to coming here, I was co-editor of an encyclopedia of Southern culture, which the NEH funded. And I saw firsthand how powerfully important that was in helping people understand about their own history and culture. And we have already seen in the last few years a growing number of state-based encyclopedias, mostly print encyclopedias. So we've decided to create an online encyclopedia in every state through our state humanities councils. There is one that we funded earlier, which is up and running, the Handbook of Texas, which is an enormously successful project, and it's a prototype for what will be available in every state over the next 5 to 10 years. It allows teachers and students to develop new curriculum. It has an impact on economic growth through cultural tourism. They have a tremendously important role in the life of the individual state, and they virtually cover the globe in the ability they offer to learn more about Texas, for example. And we have recently funded 17 states, and we'll fund another round of states this summer with $50,000 planning grants to get the process started, and then we'll come back with $450,000 implementation grants to help put it all together.
What's the Schools for the New Millennium program?
The Schools for the New Millennium is a very exciting approach to looking at the entire school in reshaping curriculum by developing technology and bringing together not only the students and faculty, but parents and the administration. We partner that entire group of the school's leadership with a local museum and a university. For example, the Booker T. Washington High School in Memphis, Tennessee, is partnered with the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis and with Northeastern University in Boston, developing a new curriculum on the civil rights movement. And for those students in the classes in Memphis, the civil rights movement is a part of history. It's something that took place before they were born. So it's a wonderful way of doing oral histories with parents and family and neighbors to give them a deeper sense of their local history. We have similar projects with the Laguna Pueblo in New Mexico, looking at their Native American myths and comparing those with the theater of Shakespeare. In each of these schools around the country, wonderful new innovative work is being done, again using technology and partnerships with museums and universities that make a high school curriculum far more exciting than ever before.
The endowment is encouraging Americans to write down their stories through the My History is America's History project. Could you tell us more about this project?
This My History project is our most comprehensive effort to reach out to all Americans. It involves, first of all, a book that is also online at that's myhistory.org. And if one wishes, you can either get the book or you can pull down on the web all the information on it. And you can also get a copy of the book by calling 877-NEH-HISTORY. Basically, what the book or the website does is to walk you through the ways of putting together your genealogy or gathering your family stories and then putting those online. And through those stories and your own personal genealogy, you begin to connect in a much more exciting way with American history. We've put two copies of this wonderful book in every library in the nation, and we're working with teachers to use family history as part of their curriculum. In states like Pennsylvania, the state humanities councils are launching special oral history initiatives in communities all over the state. It's a project that is growing in terms of the numbers that are using it, and it's also bringing the humanities in a very powerful way into the personal life and family history of all Americans.
You suggested that NEH should function as a traditional endowment where both private and public funds are added to the large pot of funding. What are the benefits of this structure?
I think our new administration believe very strongly that there should be a private-public partnership. And our current budget of $120 million is simply not adequate to fully address the needs of the nation in the humanities areas. So we have turned, with the encouragement of both the White House and Congress, to corporations, to foundations, and to individual donors. We've had a wonderful gift of about $1.7 million from the WorldCom Foundation to create EdCitement, which is a K-12 website that includes 105 websites, the Smithsonian, the Library of Congress, and others. And now, thanks to this gift and this website, a teacher in Oklahoma can pull up Thomas Jefferson or Martin Luther King, and it will sweep all these websites and give you the information. And then they can say, I'm a 10th grade teacher in Tulsa. Give me a teaching unit on this subject using the Oklahoma teaching standards. So within 5 or 10 minutes, a teacher has a wonderful lesson plan on the subject they need that they carry into the classroom. So we are very encouraged by the growing numbers of gifts for specific projects in the humanities that we are receiving. And Congress and the White House applaud this kind of entrepreneurial spirit within the humanities.
I'm talking with William Ferris of the National Endowment for the Humanities. This is the Business of Government Hour. We'll rejoin our conversation in just a few minutes.